We're talking about moving.
We're talking about moving. We're talking about grooving. We're back. Happy New Year to all
Happy
of
New
you
Year
guys.
To all of you. I was talking to Shab, though, and Shab was saying that, you know, staying put in California while everybody leaves isn't a bad idea either.
Dude, you know? Thin the herd, man.
Yeah. Is the comedy scene is going to be very different, though. I mean, in terms of, like, who's gone and it'll...
What clubs are going to be there? I mean, what clubs are going to... I pray for all the clubs.
Me too.
I hope they stay.
Me too. It's so weird.
And it's kind of crazy, dude. And we'll see what happens. But you know what, man? I love doing stand-up, but I'm also really enjoying... Oh, by the way, driving over here, I saw a guy in a mask with Sanzorma, except for it was one of those dog masks where people use to act like they're dogs and hump shit. Like, he's just walking down West Hollywood in a fucking full-on dog BDSM mask. And I'm like, that guy is taking a negative, turning into a positive. He's like, I gotta be me. Woo, woo. Right?
I gotta be me. Woo, woo.
Yeah?
I gotta be me.
Me.
Wait, what? I gotta back up. I've never... Don't act like... You're acting like that's a normal thing.
Dude,
like,
Chin, you're acting like I would
know
what
people wear in BDM. Of course Chin does, because he's into BDM secretly, probably. And
so, hold on. You're telling me you have never dipped your toe in the BDSM world, Brian?
I actually never have, but I did date a girl who was a dominatrix.
Yeah.
And she took me to her dungeon and showed me around.
Yeah.
But I was not into having... there was a chair. I've talked about this before, where there's a hole in the chair where you take your balls and cock and you tie it to the floor.
Yeah.
And then she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Not my thing.
My thing's not to be beat up by a gal.
Yeah. I'm not into that at all. Yeah. I like to be, we already know what I like. But the point is this, you know, I did on my Broken Simulation show, I talked about some of the businesses that have been affected by COVID. One of them is dominatrix. How can you dominate someone from 6 feet away?
That's a very good question.
Right?
That's a very good question. How do you dominate?
Yeah.
You do it verbally.
Like, you gotta, like, throw the whip, like, and hope it hits from way far. You got Indiana Jones that shit.
Words are worse. Words are fucking worse sometimes than anything.
Yeah, all the CEOs are really into that stuff, but that's not me, dude. That's not me.
Yeah, they say lawyers too. Lawyers, CEOs.
Yeah. Very weird. People are in the weird shit.
They say if you, like, I knew a guy who owned a building and he would get sued, he just had the guy followed for a week, and sure enough, he was fucking up somewhere.
He'd be like, Well, you know, like, sex is the thing that the power elites use to blackmail.
Yeah.
So, man, a lot of crazy shit. A lot of people talking about moving. If I had it my way, Nevada would annex San Diego and become part of Nevada, and then I would move to San Diego.
Why?
Because I love San Diego, and the politics of California are purposely foobar.
Yeah.
Okay? They're purposely fucked up. We don't know why. Some people think it's to get everybody to move out so that they could turn, you know, Southern Cal into a smart grid. Some people...
Or it's just a Democratic supermajority, and there's zero pushback from the other side. You need pushback from both sides, I feel like.
Yeah, right? It's going to be interesting, dude.
Like, the towns, like, a lot of the towns in California are broke because politicians would get elected by the powerful police safety unions and the firefighters union and labor unions, because it was like, look, I will vote in benefits for you guys so you can retire at 45, 55, and you get full benefits, so does your family for life. The problem is the tax base can't fucking afford that.
Yeah.
So what happens is you get towns like Stockton that are broke. They don't have a tax base to support the pension plans that the politicians sold to the people, so they'd be getting power.
For sure. Right? 100%, like, brother. I couldn't agree more. And you know, this taxation shit, taxation is theft. The problem isn't taxes. Well, the problem is taxes. But the real problem is spending. I mean, look at this state. We pass weed. We legalize weed, and everyone's like, oh, the tax money's going to change everything. We're still broke because these fist fucking phonies are spending on ridiculous shit.
Meanwhile, though, in Denver, it did change the landscape. Like, Denver's an awesome city because of all the weed. Once weed got legal, man, holy shit.
So I think we should legalize cocaine.
Oh, shit.
And just tax the fuck out of that, dude.
Really?
You tax the fuck out of an 8-ball, and you could go down buy an 8-ball.
Yes.
I could get an 8-ball and say, I don't know. I really don't know how much an 8-ball is. That's how I did coke, but it was in small things. I felt guilty.
What would an 8-ball be?
I don't know.
That's how so much. Uncool.
Yeah.
You don't know how much
that is? Can you look up how much is an 8-ball? How much does an 8-ball cost and how much does it weigh? That's how like the people are like, dude, you're cooking. Yeah. And I still don't know because I would buy Coke from fucking Filthy Eddie at the comedy store and go rail some chick upstairs. I never really gave it. It was always coming like some crumpled dollar bill.
It's an eighth of an ounce of cocaine.
Yeah.
Or some other drug. So an eighth of an ounce.
Yeah.
How many grams in an ounce? 16 grams in an ounce, right? So that'd be 2 grams of cocaine?
Yeah, 2 grams.
28 grams in an ounce.
Oh shit, 28 grams, I'm sorry.
1 ounce equals 28 grams. Yeah, so we're talking like 56 grams. And you just chop it up and go to Pound Town.
It's an eighth of an ounce.
Chop it up? What?
It'd be an eighth of an ounce.
Whatever, so you know. Why are we doing drug math on the show? Guys, real quick, I want to address some of the controversies of the last episode. A lot of people felt like I should have gone a little harder at old Mike, Big Mike. And I like, if you think that, you obviously don't know me. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to go at it with one of my best friend's dad. I was honored to talk to him.
It was just fun.
Hey, will you look, do me a quick thing real quick?
Yes.
Will you look up... Pyramid of Power in America, because I want this dude to see where his dad used to hang out. Pyramid of Power.
I love that because my father.
No, not middle ages.
My dad gets such a kick out of it. He gets such a kick when I tell him about like the Council on Foreign Relations. He's like, "What?
Oh, dude, Brian, your dad." I love. Hey, go up the images. Go to images. Click that real quick. Nope, that's not it.
So wait, I want to hear what some of the fans were. Like, your fans must have been so pissed.
Oh, dude. I got called a gay Jew shill. And I told them, I'm not Jewish.
See, that's the problem. A lot of this is anti-Semitic stuff that these people are into.
Oh, dude. Well, we'll get into that real quick. Hold on, Chin. I'm going to show you what I'm looking for. Okay. Let me find this. I want to send it.
Economic and national security, leadership and technology, and advanced manufacturing. All right.
Okay, no, don't all write this. Okay, Chin, I'm going to send you this so this dude sees what I'm talking about. Okay?
What I'm talking about.
So, I'm not going to, like, listen, I love Brian Callen, and I love his dad, and I appreciate Brian Callen, and I love him with all my heart, and I would never disrespect anybody's family. That's not my style. Did I disagree with stuff Big Mike said? Oh, yeah. And today, you are going to pay for the sins of thy father, okay?
Yes! I'm paying for the sins. We go hard in the paint.
I love you, dude.
I know. I knew you were probably like writing notes down.
Interesting. Okay.
And, sir, would you say...
Yeah, interesting. You know,
I loved how you were with that. It was
okay,
so
let's
great.
Let's take a look. Is that what I said? I didn't send you that, did I?
I think so.
Wait, are we going to break down what my dad said? Or are we going to go after? Did we have fan comments on that? We could do that, and then we should get into the Trump phone
what
call.
What is that? Hold on, dude. Fuck. Okay, here we go. Here we go, dude. I'm going to send you this. This is it, dude. Why don't you talk about the Trump thing? Phone call.
I'm going to get a drink of water first. I'm thirsty.
What the fuck, man? I'm in the middle of rocking right now. What kind of production is this?
I don't know what's going on.
Is he going to get an 8-ball? Is Brian going to do blow?
Quite possibly.
Okay.
So this is very different, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very different. Very fucking different. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, guys, listen to me. I got a couple things to say. First of all, I love Brian Callen's dad. I will always love Brian Callen's dad. He's a very nice man. I'm going to be honest with you. Chin, can I say something?
Sure.
I did not know he was that high up. I would tell you that I did not know Brian Callen's father was that powerful of a human being.
He's not, though.
He was a master of mankind, brother.
Not really.
Yeah, he is. So let's go to the big board. I think you should always have this available so I could go show Brian gets like a GPS map of what we're talking about.
He doesn't have that much money,
Brian,
first of all.
So go down. So Brian, see that thing that says debt slaves? That's where you and I are. Okay. We're debt slaves.
Right.
Well, not you, but definitely me.
I might be, believe me.
Okay.
I got some money issues.
Okay. So then above us, also the government and the media and education. Okay, then you got world population control. Who's that? We're talking like I mean, it could be Bill Gates, but it's probably a little higher, right? So, I mean, world population control. So you got your Planned Parenthoods and all that shit. And then we get to the corporations who blah, blah, blah. You see who they are right there.
Right.
And then we go a little higher. Then we go a little higher. Okay. Here's the central banks. Okay. And here's the crazy thing. We're not yet to your dad and we're 2/3 through this pyramid. Okay. So the central banks, we're talking Federal Reserve. That just to give you a little understanding of where we are, Brian.
Okay.
Bill Gates' dad is at this level, which is central banks. He ran the central bank of
My dad ran Citibank.
Okay. Do you see how I got slurred there? Like, look who's uncomfortable. He has the same vibe of Jeffrey Epstein in all those interviews when they ask him about his egg shaped dip. Have you ever seen that? Where they ask him about his egg shaped dip?
Yeah, he's like,
egg shaped dick. There we go. So we're not in there. World financial controls. We're not there. So here we are, we've finally arrived at where your father is, and that is think tanks. And I didn't get into that, man. You were really good at like ambushing people. Hey dude, 5 minutes of my dad's out. What? I called Central Command, give me the nuts. We're like, we don't have time. And their computers blew up. But see, what's that say right there? What's the last
think
one?
Think tanks, Bilderberg Group, Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah.
So my dad is really high up, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's news to me and him, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
So wait, what does that mean exactly? Because I remember my dad ran Citibank's investment bank, which meant he just worked all the time.
Yeah.
And
he ran Citibank.
Yeah, part of it. But he also, got fired.
This is all fun. It's a comedy show. But
he got fired publicly.
Yeah.
And then he went and worked for a bank in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know that name.
Yeah. And then, it's not like he's super wealthy.
Yeah,
okay. He doesn't have power. He's 80.
Yeah. Dude, he's reading books this thick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
My dad's about intellectual growth. That's all he gives a fuck about. He reads.
Okay.
He plays a guitar.
Okay.
And he plays golf. That's literally. Right.
He did get up when I asked about lizard people and Chin got really uncomfortable. Chin was sweating. I could hear it.
Do you think he might be a lizard person?
I mean,
wait, who's at the very top of that pyramid?
Oh, yeah, go back. Mm-hmm. That probably is. Go down. That is right there. That's the Council of 13, which is the 13 powerful families, black nobility.
Oh, right.
They're above the Committee of 300, which is the world's sub-families. Richest and most powerful families. That to me is more, those are the original families, and above that, black nobility, then the Council of 13, some might
put but where's, on where's that. The Bezos family?
The what?
The Bezos family.
The Bezos family.
The Zuckerberg.
The Bezos family. The Bezos family, he's a desk jockey to these people.
What?
Yes.
He is?
Yeah. These people above your dad, right?
Yeah.
Just above your dad. Most people don't know who they are. They'll never hear their names. I asked your dad about the Pesar family, got a little quiet on that, okay? Pesar family.
He didn't know who they were, neither do I.
That's what a total lizard would say, by the way. That's what a total lizard would say.
Oh, shit, I got to check my dad for scales,
man. Yeah, dude, for sure. Bob, for sure.
He's a lizard person.
Yeah.
Huh? What about?
Were you born or hatched?
I was hatched, dude.
Okay,
I came
for
out
sure.
Of a fucking
for
egg.
Sure, for
dude,
sure.
Dude, look, I got a beak.
Yeah.
You check my head.
Yeah.
There's a sharp little point.
Who's cutting your hair, by the way?
Me. I'm not doing a good job.
Are you really doing that?
I'm doing my own.
So you're saying I got a man up because he cut his hair. Because I was about to lay into you guys because you guys got some great haircuts.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe
I take a razor,
I
take a fucking three, I think, and I just go. Rum, rum, rum.
Clippers.
Yeah, clippers. That's all I do. Fuck.
But speaking of Clippers, the Committee of 300 is owned by, who owns the Clippers? Steve Ballmer. Guess who's on the Committee of 300? Steve Ballmer.
Well, I don't know who that is, but you know, it always comes down to the fact that you think that people have more control over the massive world that it is.
Well, Brian, you know, a couple things your dad said that was very interesting about the CFR being a coffee shop, which is absolutely hilarious.
What's the CFR?
Are you sure?
Well, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think it is, though? It's just a bunch of people who get together and talk about politics.
No, dude,
right?
They
foreign policy.
They think tanks.
Yeah.
So let me. Where'd that?
But a lot of think tanks. So I actually know some people in think tanks, Bubba. And I have to tell you.
By the way, one thing is the Travis Stock Institute is it should be in the think tank.
Can I tell you something about think tanks? They're impressive, but they're not at all.
No, I'm talking about think tanks. You're talking about gay bathhouses where you hang out and all you lizards suck each other's dicks.
That's a different thing. That's a dick tank.
Okay.
But that's a fuck tank. Now, okay. That's a bang tank. But here's the thing. It's a cum tank. Now, here's the thing. But think tanks are full of people who tend to be eggheads. There are a lot of eggheads who don't have a lot of there are a lot of them in there that have theoretical understandings of the world, but not practical understandings of the world. So that's you have to be careful with think tanks.
No,
you have to be careful with what they have to say.
No.
Right?
Right.
Like
so there's three different videos out there that we can look up if you'd like to. One is John Brennan talking about chemtrails. Can you look that up? And we don't have to necessarily watch them.
John Brennan talking about chemtrails
at CFR.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you believe in chemtrails?
Not really. I mean, watch this and you tell me if you believe in chemtrails. Can we watch this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to sit back and text people while you listen.
Turn the shit up. The Daily Digest.
Let's see if he actually plays it or is it just like somebody like talking about.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat.
Oh, how convenient.
Much the same way as volcanic eruptions.
Is your phone here? Are we getting too close to the truth?
The SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion.
Okay, but hold on.
Okay, stop.
Stop. So he's just talking about a technology that might help reverse
Brian, he's talking climate change. About chemtrails.
Well, or he's talking about a technology that might help suck carbon out of the atmosphere,
so
right?
So, Brian, because we didn't finish, because I know you were getting really uncomfortable with that text, was like, kill it now.
Kill it.
Was that the kill text alarm? Kill text.
It's
kill it. Kill switch text.
Turn the shit off.
Yeah. Name of the episode is Send in the Kill Switch.
Send in the kill
switch. So, the next one I'd like you to look up, if you don't mind,
mm-hmm.
will you please look up Joe Biden bragging Ukrainian pro quo. Could you look that up? And we got one more video after this, and we'll talk about whatever.
I love this.
Daddy wants to talk about
Ukrainian pro quo.
Okay.
Pro quo?
Pro, yeah. Quo.
Yeah, but so John Brennan in the Council of Foreign Relations is basically.
Okay, go. Can we watch this one now, too?
Yeah.
Here we go.
The short
one? Real quick, stop. What is the. Did you get rid of the last video? Is it still like.
I did.
Okay, can you open that? Because I want Brian to read what's the writing on the back, real quick.
Was that on foreign relations?
Okay, and then if you go to the other one real quick with John Brennan,
it's just where
smart
people get together and talk about politics.
Okay. So there we go. He's kind of seeing the back there, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
But wait,
listen to Joe Biden.
But
CFR chemtrails. There we go. But
wait,
you don't want to hear about
before
it.
Before we do this, I'm asking, what do you think the Council on Foreign Relations is doing? Are they all getting together and plotting how to take over the world?
Setting policy.
Yeah, they said policy, but that makes sense, right? Where they're sharing ideas.
Yeah, but that's not a coffee club.
But what I'm saying is that a lot of it kind of is. You know,
it's not.
They're invited, like a TED Talk, they're invited to talk.
Yeah.
And come, I'll say to Brennan, come and talk to us about what you guys are doing about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then he'll say, well, the Department of Energy has a program.
We're doing chemtrails to make sure everybody's sterile.
But there are these things that need to be addressed, right? Like what are we going to do about the fact that a fourth of our arable land is overgrazed, overfarmed? There are problems in the world that seem to come up, and we have to solve those problems. There's a lot of carbon in the atmosphere. Are there carbon
Chin
sins?
Is uncomfortable with what your spin right now. He can't even make eye contact with you as you try to convince yourself. Can you look up one more tab, please?
Yeah.
Will you look up CFR Iranian false flag press conference.
Press conference.
Yeah, press conference.
Okay. You know, you can go to the Council on Foreign Relations. We could,
dude,
we should go there.
I will not go there.
Why?
Go to videos, please.
I think you'd be like this. You'd be like, oh, okay, it's just people talking.
Where is it? It's not there.
I bet we can
see
go.
The one where the guy's like basically like, yeah, dude, we got to have a false flag to get into a war with Iran. But this is what happens there. I can't find the actual thing, but this is what's going on, dude.
I do think that, you know, there are groups of people that have power that have an interest in creating conflict with Iran. I do agree with you on that. But again, there's pushback on that side. So the thing is that people have very different points of view on things like Iran and what to do about that threat, if it's a threat, if it's not a threat, and all that. There are hawkish people that want to get in there and fuck with, you know,
America,
fuck with Iran,
yeah,
and get a war going, because right. And
but
I
basically
agree with
what this, oh, there it is, you found it, dude. Chin, you're the best.
YouTube
Chin the is the one? Best. Okay.
Oh, there you go. So here, he's an Israeli lobbyist. Yeah. This I believe that it would be in Israel's interest to force the United States and Iran into
100%.
It seemed
Israelis.
To be that way.
But here's
in
the
Iran,
thing I'm
Iraq.
Talking about is that this guy's openly talking about doing false flags to bring us into
yeah,
war with Iran.
Let's
but this is all happens at these think tanks. Now, yeah. I thought this was CFR, so you could try to do a fake win on this one because it doesn't say
well,
CFR
this
behind
is the
it.
Washington Institute. This might be a conservative think tank. Let's see. Yeah. Again, a lot of these people are, this is what bothers me.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough.
Stop. What is he talking
about? Crisis initiation. Wow.
Yeah. Tough.
Real tough.
I agree with you on this stuff. Like, I actually think that there are countries that have an interest in conflict between two other countries and would do their part to help facilitate that. I agree with you on that. You know, I mean, you can make the argument. So Iraq had the fourth largest army in the world. Iraq was a sworn enemy to Israel. If I was Israeli, I would take any opportunity I could to figure out a way. If I was an Israeli, you know, policymaker, general, I would say, well, one of the bigger threats to my country is Iraq. Okay. Yeah. Well, what's a good opportunity here? We could exacerbate or provide faulty intelligence to the United States to get them to attack Iraq. I could see that being in the national interest of a country. I'm sure countries do that. And if you told me that were the case, I would not be surprised by that. That doesn't feel like a conspiracy. That feels like geopolitics and the shitty state of the world, though.
Right, but
like, that's not surprising.
But the problem that we're talking about, we saw it with U.S. policy with Cuba, and I just did an insane episode. I don't really say listen to a specific episode, even though this is the second time I've done this today, but
yeah.
We just did an episode on bioweapons mm-hmm. and what the U.S. government did with basically ticks and fleas is unbelievable. But they basically, they were so mad at Kennedy for the Bay of Pig disaster. Mm-hmm. And they wanted war with Cuba so badly that they basically like dumped all these like insects, ticks, on all these sugar farmers in Cuba mm-hmm. and got them all sick.
Or they tried to decimate their crops.
Yeah, right? That too, yeah.
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 Yeah, there was a lot of shit that went on in Cuba. Cuba was an obsession for a lot of our intelligence agencies.
So, you know, so when I'm talking to your dad, and he's a wonderful guy, I would tell you, I would say he's probably the most powerful human being I've ever talked to. I was like, dude, this kid,
he gets such a kick out of that talk, because I swear to God, he's not powerful. He has no power over anybody. Like, what's the guy going to do? He doesn't even know. I mean, I don't think his friends.
Well, you know, here's something I could say. He could be phenomenal at running a bank.
Yeah.
And be so, I'm just saying this, and this is just, he's so high up that he's above that fray.
But you know what I love about my father?
He's a great guy.
No,
he's way taller than you.
He's such a nice person. Like, since I can remember, and I'm serious, since I can fucking remember as a kid, this is a fucking dude who is defending gay marriage, gay rights, legalizing drugs. I'm serious.
No.
He was like all the things that like a freedom loving American, and more importantly, and I've said this in two of the speeches I made for his birthdays, his 50th and his 75th.
Hold on. You wrote speeches for your dad's birthday?
Yeah, because when he was 50.
I got pizza for my dad on his birthday.
You did?
Yeah, I got, hey, here's some Pudgy's pizza,
well,
bro.
Well, he's got a lot of friends, so I said what I
was
love about...
Was that before or after you guys sacrificed the child to Moloch?
That was before. But like, I love the fact that the motherfucker has never lost his outrage at the injustices in the world.
I respect
that. He speaks up for the forsaken and the forgotten and
Brian,
the abused and the misused. That dude has never, and I've seen him do
why
it.
Have you moved farther from me, by the way?
I just wanted to create more of
I just
like
gotta be honest with you.
Look.
I just got, you've moved farther away. I feel like the closer I get, the farther
you
move.
I want to face you like this.
Chin's uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. What's going on? No, are you going to Photoshop yourself out of this conversation?
I'm trying to hide my scales.
Okay.
I'm trying to hide.
Listen, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm saying this. Everything you're saying, I 100%. But what we're talking about are things that I felt that I just respectfully, with nothing but love, disagree on.
Well, give me the things you disagree
on. The CFR, it's not a coffee shop. This isn't an open mic at a fucking coffee bean, okay?
But
when you're kicking it with fucking Henry Kissinger, one of the great monsters of humanity. Mm. Like, one of the great monsters. But let's go on from that.
Yeah.
His notion that... Like these intelligence agencies, which you push back on.
Yeah, I did.
Those are the things that I disagree.
Yeah, I think that he and I disagree on a lot of stuff. I think he believes that you know, overall government is a bad thing, and I think that we benefit from government. I just did a book, this book review that I'm releasing completely here and on YouTube about The Fifth Risk, about that book I sent you. About how ignorant I was about how government
what will come
works.
Out. What will happen first? This book on the Fifth Risk or the new studio opening? Because I've been hearing about these forever.
I just fucking right? recorded it today.
Okay.
I recorded it today.
Okay.
And the studio will be open January 12th.
Okay. All right.
So
okay.
I promise.
I thought it was the 10th. 2 minutes ago, right?
It is the 10th, but I mean, I think we're going to probably record okay, between okay, the 10th and the 12th, okay. So I didn't want to like overpromise
it. It's all good.
Because I get back
one
on the
book
10th.
That I am willing to do a book report with you on.
Yeah.
Is called Chaos, and it's about the role of the FBI and intelligence community in the Helter Skelter murders.
Oh yeah, you think they had something to do with it?
Yeah, well, dude,
or was
Charles Manson was a
man.
Patsy?
So you think they were trying to create a race war because they did a terrible
No, they
job.
Were trying to demonize. What they did
hippies?
Was they created
hippies?
The hippie movement, and then they demonized the hippie movement.
They didn't create a hippie
Yes,
movement.
Of course they
How
did,
How
did
they create one?
Culture, dude. Listen to me. All culture is manufactured. Hippie culture, feminist culture, black culture,
it's just
manifested,
ideas, but it's
manifested
ideas
that- in... Think tanks, right? Put that right
no,
next
no,
to your
it,
dad.
It does come, and maybe it comes out of academia. It comes out of like, it's a process. Human beings seem to like come up with these ideas, right? So now people looked around the idea of white supremacy, and people were like, you know, if you look at all the movies and from fucking, you know, the 2000 and before, it was all white people. Okay. Black people, Latino people, Asian people. There was never, I think Crazy Rich Asians was the first Asian movie to do a lot of business. So people who are, you know, traditionally in those positions say, what about us? How about us, motherfuckers? And so what happens is ideas come out, some good, some bad, about how to equalize the playing field, right? So you get think tanks, but you get also like courses that are created by energetic academics who've read a bunch of books. What happens? It's just, I think things gain momentum. I think like things like the Iraq War, these kinds of things gain momentum. They start with ideas and they start gaining too much momentum to stop. I think that might be a lot of it.
Fun.
You think
that's a fun...
You think it's plans according to design.
Yes.
You know, you think it's all, but
What you were talking about earlier, listen, I love diversity. I think they're weaponizing our diversity to get us all to fight with each other.
Sure.
So everybody's fighting here instead of looking up
well,
here.
Well, I worry about that.
Okay.
I worry about that. I don't think that's happening by design by some cabal of like
so you
people.
Tell me you think it's just by happenstance every commercial is a smoke show white chick dating a smoke show black guy. Every commercial.
No. So
right? Chin and I were talking about
that. But these ideas like critical race theory, we can trace them back to the original thinkers behind this.
I have no problems with. Listen, dude, I've watched more interracial porn than everybody in this building. Okay, I support interracial action.
As well you should.
Pick out black dicks from a police lineup. That's how much back when I was doing drugs, I was fucking watching interracial porn. So don't judge me, dog. Okay,
I love you for it.
I'm a man of the people.
God
all right,
damn right you are.
Okay, so but I'm telling you, there's a and then when well, how often do you see a black woman with a white guy in a commercial? Not only a black woman and everybody's beautiful, but a smoke show black woman with a smoke show or a handsome man.
Yeah.
Right? You don't see it.
Yeah.
Because it's only hot white chick with like fucking thoroughbred black guy. And then you got dumpy fucking white guy with chick who works at the post office black chick.
But all of this shit is basically... What it is it's basically these ideas that used to be on the fringes of academia because of certain events, like somebody kneels on George Floyd's neck or whatever, pent up frustration.
That was what they call thuggy
moves. Yeah, all these things that happen.
The thuggy.
All the academics, you know, in fucking, they get into the these gender study things that Jordan Peterson was warning about. They get themselves into the workforce and they start pushing their unchecked, untested ideology, their quote-unquote science, like critical race theory, which I have a huge problem with because it makes everything about race. But you know, at the same time, like there's a woman who wrote a book recently. It's called Mediocre.
This guy, well, your dad up. Was right. Bring, this bring guy this reads book books, up. Right? He likes
but,
to read
but
books.
Bring this book. I want to show you something. Bring Mediocrity? Up Mediocre. Mediocre.
Mediocre.
Yeah. Look at this. Look at this book.
It's my picture on the face of this.
Watch this. Okay.
This one?
Bring that up. Mediocre, The Dangerous Legacy of White Male America. It's written by a black woman named Ijeoma Oluo. And she basically, and I read a little of it. I'm going to finish reading it.
Is this going to be in the book club?
It's a scathing indictment on what it has cost us on white male America. She wants to talk about race, a history of white male America, a scathing indictment of what it cost socially, economically, and politically after the election of Donald Trump, and the escalation of white male rage and increased hostility toward immigrants that came with him. New York Times bestselling author, blah, 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 found herself in conversation with Americans around the country, pondering one central question. How do we get here? Is this ambitious survey of the last century of American history? Olua answers that question by pinpointing white men's deliberate efforts to subvert women, people of color, and the disenfranchised. And so that's a pretty charged book that made me feel very fucking uncomfortable. And I also thought, boy, she's basically laying all the blame at white straight men and saying that all we've done is create violence. That's an intellectually lazy. I got to finish the book, so I don't want to be too unfair to her. But that's intellectually so fucking lazy.
And it's
like, what about the pill? And what about
it's
antibiotics?
So
what about the
easy
tampon?
To write that book and get it published?
Yeah,
because
that's what it is.
They want us to fight with each other.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you know, it's very interesting because race relations only seem to be about what happens in our borders. And when you ask people to extend to other parts of the world, they ignore the fuck out of it.
Dude, we are much less racist as a country, the United States and the United Kingdom. So much less racist than almost every other country I can think of. And that's a fucking fact.
You know,
you want to talk about tribalism in Africa? You want to talk about tribalism in the Middle
East? You want to talk about Libya, where there's open air slave trades right now?
Thank you.
Africans being sold by Africans?
Thank you.
Do you want to talk about, dude, have you noticed that there's never been a slavery movie about white settlers hunting Africans? No, because it didn't happen because they were sold by tribes that beat their tribes. No, it's ugly history. But
well,
that
slavery
doesn't
was a human thing. Human beings take advantage of other human beings.
100%.
So we would be, and my contention is always that race is not the problem. It's tribalism.
No,
the idea that
economics is the problem.
Yeah, yes, but we could all look the exact same, dude. Like as you can tell, and look, we could look exactly the same, just like in the Sudan with the Dinka and Nua, just like in the Middle East with the Palestinians and Israelis. We can look exactly the same, just like the Igbo and the Aruba in fucking Nigeria, just like the Hutu and the Tutsi in Rwanda. I can keep going. You could look exactly the same and still slaughter each other
for sure.
Commit major genocide. I don't know. How about Europe? They all pretty much looked very similar. Talk to the French and the British, and the English. The fucking brutal wars that they had forever, they were just across the English Channel. You know why? Because they were over there and we were over here.
Yeah, and Brian, it goes down to what I'm saying, which is it's economic. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like they've done studies on this going back to think tanks. They can't get the kind of energy to fucking fight with each other when you go across economics. But when you break it down on race, gender, and sexual orientation and religion, people get passionate about it. You know, I love everybody, but I know people that aren't talking to their families because they voted differently than them. I'm like, you're never going to meet these two candidates. You might, but the rest of us aren't. Okay?
Yeah.
But you're fighting with your blood. Yeah. Now, some blood isn't close, but people that are really close to their blood, because one's a Biden, one's a Trump, you're not talking to them anymore? What the fuck are you doing?
Well, Trump... I think Trump was such a polarizing figure. I think what happens is people go like this. They go, you're a Republican. That means you're trying to restrict my right to choose. That's what they say. Right? Now you can be a Republican and be pro-choice Republican. You can.
But right
you
now, know. Today, Brian, it's, I hate to cut you off, but right now the Democrats are telling us we have to take this vaccine. That's taking away our right to choose.
Well, you're bringing up a fucking very important.
Did you hear that?
No.
Did you hear that? Get that Japanese bell over here.
Well, the thing that bothers me about this COVID shit is that it may be dangerous and people have died, but, you know, first of all, they say 350,000. I reject that estimate. I don't know if that's true. How many people have died with COVID? I don't know. I don't have any information on that, so
I'm
going
to stay
quiet. If
you died right now, Brian, yeah. God forbid, I would cry, but yeah. Chin and I would try to carry on in your mouth. I would make a fucking, like, a fucking animated you.
Yep.
I'd be like, muscular. I am winning. That's all you'd say right there. I trust authority. That's what you would say the whole time, right? But if you died right now, I trust the system. It's working perfect.
I'm going down that hall.
Okay.
I'm going down that hall.
Don't go. White girl. Don't go there.
I'm a white girl going down that hall.
So if you died right now and they would find COVID antibodies in you, yep. They would say you died of COVID. That's what people don't understand. And when they're like, the hospitals are overrun at this time of the year, they're always overran because people have the flu and the cold. And guess what? Hospitals, my friend, are basically hotels that try to help you get healthy.
Well, here's what I worry about. I don't think you're going to be able to get on a plane without showing your vaccination certificate. I don't think you're going to be able to get into restaurants without showing your vaccination certificate. I don't think you're going to be able to get work for a fucking go to the workplace without showing your vaccination certificate. This is how you get your liberties taken from you. I understand. I understand that maybe a vaccine will keep COVID at bay. But just keep in mind, at what price? You got to take two injections. I don't know much about vaccines. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But I do fucking worry that first they tell you to cover your face, then they tell you to stand 6 feet apart. Now they tell you if you don't have an injection, you're not getting this job, you're not getting on this plane, you're not walking into this building. So, you know, I have a problem with that. I have a fucking problem with it. I think you're right. And oh, by the way, and I'll tell you something else. I don't think we're far off from having somebody take a reader just like they do your temperature before you get on a fucking plane and seeing if you have whatever it is, the markers of that, maybe they put something in the vaccine that allows you to scan your skin. That is coming. That is the future. It's in the near future. So, okay. So you want to be read that way? Not to mention the fact that with facial recognition technology, I can put a pair of glasses on, look at your face, and know everything about your medical history, everything about your financial history, everything about your criminal history. I think, and by the way,
yeah. Mr. Callen, you still pissing fire? Or did you get it? You take a shot for that?
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
You can't get on this plane with chlamydia.
I'm a man dragon. I got a man dragon dick. And I shoot fire. That's what I say. But these are real fucking things that we have to decide at what price. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Is it convenient? Yeah. Will it keep us safer? Every authoritarian regime in the history of the world has always passed laws that restrict your freedom because it's quote unquote safer for you.
Oh yeah.
And so
for sure.
This is where you and I always find common ground is the fact that, you know, I don't know how to avoid this shit though.
Yeah.
I actually don't.
Well, here's my whole thing, Brian. I think there's a lot of stuff you hear in like your dad brought this up, and I thought it was a wonderful point. And it was something I really did agree. I go, okay, man, that's a really good point about how, like, I remember the Japanese are coming for us. Yep. Be wary of the Japanese. Yep. And, like, we have seen this over the last, like, 2020, where it's like all these things are supposedly going to happen. You remember they were like, Obama's going to take your guns. Now, I'm not saying they aren't trying to take the Second Amendment, you know, because we see what they're trying to do. But that didn't happen. Yeah. And then we had murder hornets coming. And then we had, you know,
killer bees back in the 70s.
Right. And then we also had, like, the food supply chain's going to crash. And, you know, all this stuff that's going on that I just think, and I'm not saying the government isn't trying to take away our guns, because there's nothing authority would like more than to disarm the population. Right.
But, yeah, except for when I talk to cops, they're pro Second Amendment because they're usually conservative.
Well, you know, until their paycheck, like, what are we seeing right now? Maybe these videos are all being set up to fucking get us to think some chaos is happening. But I mean, particularly in Canada, we're seeing cops going into houses because there's more than six people and because some neighbor snitched on somebody.
Yeah, but a lot of sheriffs in this country don't agree with that shit, and they're saying fuck you.
Well, it's all gonna come down to the cops. Are you going to be a brown shirt and fucking enforce laws that you know are unconstitutional because a paycheck's involved? And I understand you got to have a paycheck.
My experience with cops that I've seen,
I love cops.
They tend to be me too. My experience with the cops I've talked to and I've seen are they are patriots and they believe in the Constitution. So if you're going to find any group that's going to resist that shit, it would probably be cops before a lot of other people. Cops tend to be. I mean, the cops I've talked to, the minute you mention the Constitution, they're right with you on that. They get it, you know. I just think cops have a different relationship with violence than most of us do. They see shit that we don't see, and so they're more on edge. And by and large, I think they do a great job. By and large, you know.
Well, it's a hard job. It's not an easy job. But it's like I don't hate cops. I hate asshole cops. Right. Yeah. I don't hate black people. I hate asshole black people. I don't hate gays. I hate asshole gays. I don't hate white people. I hate asshole white people. It's assholes of every group that ruin everything, right? Women, I love asshole women because I eat butt. But yeah. Besides that, all right, I eat a lot of butt, yeah. Dog.
Now, do you think you've dated women in the past who have been difficult as people, easygoing? Are you drawn to a type?
Yeah.
You are.
Chaos.
Yeah, you like a little chaos.
I'm all about, you know?
You like
hey, water, dude.
And then choppy waters. Yeah,
I'm all about
choppy
that.
Waters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're the kind of guy, if shit's going well.
You know what it is,
that might be why you like conspiracy theories. You want to believe there's some shit.
No, you mean I want to believe in facts? Yeah, that's what I want
to
believe in.
Brian. Or you just like to believe that things can't be running smoothly, that this is all.
Well, Brian, did you get molested in kindergarten? That's why you believe in fairy tales? Is that what that's about? You got diddled by your kindergarten teacher? And that's why.
I wish.
Why you were hearing about fucking Little Red Riding Hood? So listen, dude. I like chaos, dude. I like, you know what it is, man? I had low self-esteem from chicks for a very long time when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I had two girlfriends for about a weekend.
Oh yeah.
I went to college and I was so not used to it.
Yeah.
And it was just chaos.
Because you were doing your shit.
Where'd
you go to college?
UNLV.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I loved it.
What'd you study?
You know what I studied?
What?
Psychology. And you know why I like psychology?
Why?
Because I like Basic Instinct and Silence of the Lambs.
Is that right?
That's the only reason.
Did you go to all 4 years?
I graduated.
No shit.
Yeah, and I'm still illiterate.
You're a college graduate.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
UNLV.
Yeah.
So you love Vegas. That's why you like Vegas so much.
Well, I mean, Vegas is like, I went to Vegas because of did I already talk about this on the
remember.
Show?
Never. I remember.
I went to Vegas for a couple of reasons. One, I thought it was a great place to start stand-up because I wanted to be a stand-up comic from the moment I realized I existed.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Really?
I wanted to be a comic before I knew there was a term for it.
Really?
So the idea of making people laugh.
Did you see someone doing it or what?
I don't know. So my daughter, Ghost, right? She loves making her parents laugh. She'll like stick that baby like, and I'm like, oh, you're trying to make us laugh. And I didn't recognize that the mom said, oh, she loves making us laugh. I'm like, oh, wow. We got, and her mom's got cut fucking throat sense of humor, like cuts like a knife.
Yeah, she likes humor.
Yeah, and then you know she's got dad, one of the greatest comics never, right? And
you're awesome,
right? Right. That should be my name of my show.
Does your girl laugh at your jokes?
At one point she used to. Yeah, at one point. Now she's booing me. Get off stage! Next comic! You know?
Get off stage!
But, so I thought it'd be a great place to start comedy. Little did I know when I got there, it was dead. I literally created the Las Vegas comedy scene.
You did?
Yeah. So when I got to LA, I got to Vegas, yeah, there was one open mic every other week in the whole city.
God damn. That's so weird.
That's so
weird. In Vegas, of all places? Was it hard to get people to come see your stuff?
The problem was that the three clubs that were there wouldn't hire locals. They would only fly, because it was so cheap, be flying in
from
people
LA.
From LA to open. So we never got to do it. So me, Joe Coy started in Vegas.
No shit.
Yeah.
You and Joe Coy.
Yeah.
Joe Coy
granddaddy.
Is he from Vegas?
Yeah. The granddaddy is Doug Stanhope.
Oh.
So Stanhope's kind of the granddaddy. Then my generation was me and Joe Coy. And now
how old is Stanhope? Is he my age?
53. I don't think he's 70 yet.
Dude, 54 in January.
Dude, it's great. January, you look 26. Great. You I look don't. Great. But yeah. Then and then Tarkanian was the coach, Armenian. Yeah. I love basketball. 53. And then my dad ran a con on me forever. My dad did a psyop. And he convinced me I should go to Vegas because he wanted to buy a house so he could have me live there. And then he could write off on his taxes going to Vegas and gamble all my fucking inheritance away.
Is that what he did?
No. But
does your dad have a gambling problem?
No, my dad loves to gamble. I don't know if he has a problem. You can watch my dad lose 10 hands at blackjack. And I'll be like, Dad, how's it going? He's like, I'm up. All the time.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do you gamble? I never
know. I mean, not really, dude. I mean... fantasy maybe a little bit, but like back, like I was broke in college, and like losing $20 was like, oh fuck, I'm fucked.
I just couldn't see losing. I lost $700 in like a couple of seconds playing blackjack. I said, let me try this shit, and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, and I go, I'm never doing this again. That's $700,
but
that's so much money. Because the problem with me is I'm like, let it all ride, and I'm like, fuck this, maybe I'll get lucky. And I swear, and no,
one time in like downtown Vegas, I had $3 left, and I started playing craps, and I left with over like $300. When I was a young guy, I was like, dude, I can retire now.
I was with this a girl named Eden Espinoza and this other actor, Ryan. And Eden Espinoza became a big Broadway.
And the other guy was Ryan Reynolds, and you're jealous.
Yes. Eden, she's beautiful, though. She was so beautiful, and she was so cool, and I was doing this show, and she was so talented.
It looks like
she
a Metamed sister.
She's so gorgeous, and she was singing this. She was in Wicked. I mean, she's a killer. But before she was like killing it on Broadway, we were in this terrible casino. I was doing a show called Cover Me, and I met her. And,
well, what was Cover Me about? It could either be. Let me say, what do you think? It could either be about being on a football team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It could be about being a
David
reporter.
Star Dave Cassidy.
Was it about a football team?
No, he created it. No, it was about Cover Me, I think, was about undercover cops. Look it up.
Oh,
look
it up. So, was it a TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like some kind of a Vegas show. Like, when you're in the backfield and the ball's going long, what do you do?
Cover me! Oh, look at that. So, yeah, so it was this guy, what's his name? And look at how gorgeous Cameron was. It was the Cameron and Melora.
Oh,
Cameron and Melora, they were so gorgeous and such cool gals. I love those gals.
Oh, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Look at her. Remember Cameron? She was the girl who rode the bull in the that hamburger thing.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Anyway.
Hamburger.
What year was this?
Oh, dude, I bet you that's 1992.
By the way, that the chick hugging, that haircut says, I want to talk to the manager, right? When you see a girl in the audience with that haircut, you're like,
fuck yeah.
Somebody wants to talk. Can I talk to the manager, please?
David Cassidy, I think, created it. And I hit a slot machine. We were shooting in some terrible place, bar show.
She is hot,
I hit a slot machine and won like $350. I thought it was the end of the world. Yeah, she's so gorgeous. I never knew what happened to that guy.
Peter I think Dobson. He did. I think he's done some. I was just talking about. He's been doing some stuff, and he may.
I like Peter. He's good people.
He is he in that new the guy from Breaking Bad, Brian
Cranston.
Yeah, wow, 2000. That was in fucking 2000, dude.
Are they still hot? You know how like there's something about hot chicks.
Oh, there he is.
Oh no. Yeah, but apparently he turned into what's his name? The giant motivational speaker.
Did?
What's his
name? Anthony Robbins.
Anthony Robbins. Does he look like Anthony Robbins?
Yeah.
His brother, like Billy Robbins.
Well, he looks,
he's pissed. I'm a motivational speaker.
When I knew him, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, of course,
really,
dude.
Fucking nice guy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's up to now.
Well, you know what, man?
Is he working?
I'll look right now.
56.
Yeah, 2019.
The ranch. Still going.
For him, dude.
Still
Elvis
going.
Impersonator. All right. And then just one episode there and then the demo. Look, he's still working.
Oh, he's on Dice's show. Dude, you know what's so funny? Go back. He does Elvis impersonator a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
two shows.
Oh, you know.
On Dice's show. You remember Dice's show?
Yeah, he's got, look, he was working. The point is he's working. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
A good guy.
Yeah.
But Eden Espinosa, who was this girl singing in a band, doing covers, and so good, and sexy, and really pretty, and I was like, I hope good things for her, and then she becomes this fucking Broadway diva. Crushes it. You know, shit like that happens. It's really interesting.
It does. You just got to stay in the game.
You got to stay in the game.
Stay in the game. Stay in the game.
Yeah, I won't be doing any acting anymore, but stay in the game.
Ryan, I'm writing movies as we speak.
I want to be in one.
You think I'm kidding, dude? I've talked to a production company. We're moving forward.
Really?
I'm going to find you a role in that.
Really? I think you should write movies. I think you'd be good.
Told you the movie I want to do with us. Don't say it so they steal it. But yeah, we'd be great.
I'll do it.
Let's just say it's a buddy cop film.
I think you and I should do a YouTube series.
Like what?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, but you just had that YouTube series come out with Rogan. That's doing great.
Which one?
The one with the hunting?
Yeah, but that's not a series. I only did three episodes of that. That's Meat Eater. That's been around forever.
It's popping up like crazy right now, though.
It's on popping YouTube. Up everywhere. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, forget all that. I'm talking about doing a fucking, like, I'm talking about you and I doing a series, and let's figure out what it is. Did you like my tactical scarf?
That right there?
Did you see it?
By the way, have the best. Brian, look at how many views you get. What's Skylar Stone doing at your house?
This is my nephew wife. Oh. What, Toro. Different ways to use a scarf. Watch this. This is the best.
Where do you live, Colorado?
This is Utah. Watch this. Fucking Marty. It's incredible. Watch this.
Dude, you are the best on Instagram.
Yeah! Fucking, you want to see more tactical scarf? You come to my show at the Fasani Theater this fucking weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 209,000 views. It's not bad.
Dude, that's fucking great.
Who filmed it?
My girlfriend.
And then she sent to Marty to edit?
Marty, sweet. Marty's a killer editor, man.
Yeah, man.
Crushes.
I got a new podcast coming out.
Dude, I got to roll. I got to do jujitsu. I was
grappling with that guy?
With fucking, with Sugar Sean.
Who?
O'Malley.
President.
And his head coach, Tim Welch.
Political world.
Who edits this?
Very serious.
Their guy.
Debate. Brian Callen. Feed me on the pod.
And we were fucking around, but I actually ended up doing a little jiu-jitsu.
Brian, look
guys.
At you. You drop your hands, though. That's the only problem I saw.
You haven't seen me actually hitting. There it is, Duck Hunter. Duck Hunter again. By the way, he fights at 135. He'd beat the fuck out of me.
Dude, that was great, Brian.
Hey, JX Soto, I got to get that raw footage because I got a bunch of shit I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At what point do you guys start sucking each other's dicks?
Hey, man.
I kept waiting for that. I'm like, when does the action happen?
Here, in 2 days, here's what 53-year-old your friend did. I flow grappled with those guys.
Flow grappled.
I did like we did takedowns, we did jujitsu. Then we went right into boxing. I was so fucking sore the next day I could barely move. Then I go and get a full workout. My boy Kevin Bay's gym, Hybrid Fitness. He's got me doing all the shit he does for his baseball players. Then I hit balls in a batting cage, connected every time. Don't worry about that. Then I tried to throw a ball and I have a bad elbow. and I tried to pitch, you know how fast I got? The fastest I could do?
Yeah.
59 miles an hour.
That's not that bad, Brian.
So fucking sad. But I was
trying to strike. That sounds fast to me.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Well,
you're not a fucking pro. I got to be honest with you, dude. You have some of the best promo stuff for your shows coming up.
That's all Marty.
That's really good, dude.
Marty's
I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Sexually.
Thank you, buddy. The Fasani Theater.
I don't even know what you're doing with these guys down here. I don't know.
We decided to hold that position and just fucking take a picture. That's
do the whole podcast like that?
Yeah, that's how I roll.
What were you guys talking about? Like,
damn, liked by 27,000 people.
Yeah, dude, you're doing pretty good. You don't know what the other side has.
Yeah.
You're doing great. I'm very impressed with you.
Well, all I know is I'm a bitch, and I'd have to fight at 135 to even compete and still get my ass kicked by guys like Sean.
Yeah, well, you're not a fighter, Brian.
No, I'm not. I'm just not a fighter. I'm not a
okay?
fighter.
Okay? Like, you can't be everything, Brian.
I want to be it all.
Yeah, tennis, I know. But it's like, you're lucky to be good at one thing, and we're still trying to figure that out.
Well, winning, crushing. Do we have any fan comments from last?
Well, so the dad one was mostly just saying cool things about your dad, and then people obviously say, like, not going too much. But then we even said it, me and Sam talked right after the show. He's like, Chin, hang on for a bit. And then we're talking about Sam. What Sam was like, I respect it, you know, your dad too much. I can't go in like as much as I would want to do it.
Yeah, but you could have pulled out a lot of stuff. But my dad,
why would he do
like
that? Me.
He'd be like this, he'd be like, what are you talking about?
I know.
Like that's just that all that conspiracy stuff.
I can do more if you want me to be like where I disagree with you.
Oh, we're going to bring him in. We're going to bring him in.
No, I don't. I'm good. Let's hear about it.
Oh, hold on. Brian, you keep talking. All right, so Michael Schroes.
This is from the episode before, though, because this because it's about you guys. Shit.
Brian, you keep talking about how impossible it is for there to be an Illuminati or such group. This is from CIA website. It is a detailed compilation of the Illuminati. Please check it out. All right. Well,
we will not because sure I know CIA, it exists.
I'm sure the CIA posted a whole thing about fucking the Illuminati, dude. Mm-hmm. Can we please have a CSC t-shirt? Yes, it's coming. With cartoon, it's actually up, I think. With cartoon Sam waking up in bed proclaiming winning day and the caption under it. Every day, 19-1-3. That's really good. That's from Laird Reganas. By the way, I had to spend Christmas alone away from my family this year, so reading my shitty comment and getting me a shout out is really meant a lot. Thanks, boys. Wishing all the best for you and your families. Merry Christmas, gentlemen. You got it, buddy. Tony Prez, my wife got us cameo from Sam for Christmas. Very cool gift to have Sam wishing us a personal Merry Christmas while shitting on good old Cowlin.
Dude, a lot of L's in there. Hey, dude, get my cameo, cameo.com/Sam Tripoli.
Yes.
Check it out. I'm dropping truth bombs, manifestos.
What's it cost? What are you charging?
Well, you know, it's $35, and I'm doing three or four minutes of screaming in my backyard.
It's fucking worth it, man. Give.
Half the reason I think I got kicked out of my house. Anyways, next
time. Get a cameo from Sam. Minso Kim. Hey, Chin, sounds like he's
Minsu,
Korean.
Yeah.
Your cousin loves the show.
Honestly, it's getting a little tiring saying this over and over again. The difference for science is that you have scientists trying to disprove each other every time a paper is submitted for peer review. You're right. Of the many reasons why it's easy to believe Einstein's theories weren't some hoax is that David Hilbert, one of the greatest mathematicians of the early 20th century, was actively trying to prove the same theory before Einstein and only conceded when Einstein did so first with a convincing proof. Thank you, Minso. This process pretty much generalizes to science at large. When you have equally knowledgeable people ready to dispute any flaws in your arguments, it happens during peer review. It happens in labs among collaborators every day. It leads to the discovery of relatively reliable truths. Minso Kim, thank you so much.
Who are you yelling at in this
intelligence? Intelligence on and teaching Sam Tripoli a thing or two about science, which he actively resists.
Brian believes in scientism. He worships the science.
But that is so true. And that's what David Weiss needs to understand. And he does understand, but he's got his thing, which is flat earth. And I don't believe he actually believes it. I love this podcast. I am very happy that I joined the Patreon. My only complaint is that there isn't more of it. Two a week,
by
the way,
bro.
When my studio...
That day will come. What's the studio called? Unicorn?
Come on, man. Christopher...
Minotaur? The mythological studio.
You're out of line, sir. Christopher Castanuela. Great episode, guys. Sam, there are only two ways to bring Callan to the dark side. One, let James Corbett talk to him. Bring him in.
Dude, two, you don't want any of Corbett.
I want Corbett so bad. Looks,
he even intimidates me, bro.
I want to get him. Can we get him in studio? Is he in LA?
No, he's in Japan.
All right. Two, bringing him on as it. Well, let's do it at Europe. Let's do a smacked. We're going to do a smack what with James Corbett.
Dude, you can't argue with Colbert.
Well, what is he? What is he?
James Corbett. You what's, can't argue
what's
with
James
Corbett.
James Corbett's like position.
He's basically like New World Order stuff and all that. He's so smart, dude.
Oh, I can't wait. So James to what, Corbett
take
believes,
an L from Japan.
Yes.
How do you say L in Japanese?
I want to get James Corbett on.
You don't know Chin?
Is it Korean?
Okay, my bad.
James Corbett, hit me up.
No, don't. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Bring me on because we're going to get you on the smacked, and I want you to educate me. BrianCallen@gmail.com. Bring him on as a TFH co-host.
Tinfoil hat, dude. I can't believe
we need a Callen Thoughts segment at the end of every episode. I make websites, too. All right. Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher.
Barakas. This is a really great episode, guys. The wisdom between the two of you, although you may have different views, is quite vast. I love you guys. This was a draw.
Ooh, interesting.
Everyone with the win this time says Beach Dreaming. Great show. Happy New Year, everybody. Peace. Thank
Beach Dreaming's good. Really cool. He's on my personal Patreon.
Oh, Monica, What a heartwarming episode. So much love. I second the real friend sentiment. Please tell D'Elia he is loved and missed. We do. My weeks are not the same without congratulations to look forward to. There wasn't much debate this episode, so I guess I'll vote for Chin because of that festive sweater.
Oh, Chin, yeah. I always think I get Chin one. Wins.
Eddie Tunkak. At the end of the day, you are both winners. It's just our job as listeners to filter out the bullshit from the truth. I love you guys. Robert Kalel, my favorite podcast, Conspiracy Social Club, a.k.a. Deep Waters. Just saying that out loud makes me laugh. You both are great. Two of my favorites.
Thank you.
Zach, I'm Sam, crushing. You are berating Brian for not performing these tests he refers to. If you are denying them, aren't you also responsible for performing the tests and coming it's no good?
And confirming.
Confirming it's no good. Brian wins. You're right.
Zach. Brian, you know what doesn't win? Brian's reading.
Dude, I'm crushing you. Brett Huffman, Brian wins.
Oh, shit.
Conspiracy theory. Sam is just pretending to be all into this retarded conspiracy shit in some long con. If so, he's a fucking genius.
All right. I love how he states I'm doing it, then questions whether I'm doing it.
Right. Jordan, Brian, this was a fantastic episode.
Fuck.
You're really starting to understand how everything we know is mostly a lie. But the next question is always, how do we know what's real? Great question. When my friend asked me that earlier this year, I told him, we have to learn, unlearn, relearn, repeat. Take a deep breath and forget everything you know and start over.
Yeah.
Cameron Gatlin, stop being pussies and do this live already. I'm in the LA area and we pay good money to help support the big gay owl and make it happen. We will. Andrew, and by the way, I think Sam's up there with Theo Von on having one of the coolest personalities in comedy.
Thank you.
I agree with that. One of my favorite people. So I'm not hate fucking love this, not hating, fucking love this potty. Please keep that flat earth guy beyond the ice wall. Please keep that flat earth guy beyond the ice wall. Holy shit. Brian Nolan, that's really generous of Brian Callen, arguably the greatest songwriter, musician of his generation, late 19th century, to offer Chin such valuable advice.
Chin, the people have spoken.
All right, so I want to ask you a question.
Brian, we haven't gotten to the vote yet. Have we gotten
No, there's no vote because people didn't really vote on that one.
And I won anyway.
They just love you both.
That's
so funny because I thought, oh, wow, Brian actually won one, and then nobody voted.
Yeah. No, I have something worth debating. And it's, did you listen to Trump's phone call?
I have not. If you could play, I'll listen to it.
It's an hour long.
Okay, well.
But what he was doing was basically saying that he won Georgia by at least 400,000 votes.
Okay.
That the Dominion machines are bullshit. That also that, you know, there was a water main break. That this woman, what the fuck is her name?
Okay, did you do that real quick? Explain. Chin, you remember where the power pyramid is? Can you go to the post right before it?
But here, the problem with the phone call, and he looked very bad in it. By the way, he sounded like a complete moron. And the problem was because the guy was basically dropping all these facts to Republicans, Secretary of State, the fucking the governor, and all of them were quiet. And all they could say was, Mr. President, you're getting your information from social media. And he goes, no, I'm getting it from Trump media. Okay. And then he said, your data is not accurate. It is not true. And the problem is when you start talking about all these things about when the votes were counted, the ballot stuffing and all that, these people that are watching this are going, we've looked into this, right? And
Brian,
they go, it's not true.
You're so naive.
But Sam, what I'm saying is that if you have a Republican administration saying we don't know how to stand behind all these things you've heard, Mr. President, heard that you don't have any evidence for. What do we do about that? Like, what is the Georgia administration? The governor's administration is supposed to do when Trump is dropping all the shit he doesn't know about that he's heard, right? He's heard this stuff. But we need, how the fuck do we justify what he's saying when there's just not enough evidence for it?
Well, that's total bullshit. It's Ronan Sam Tripoli. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Go down a little bit. Well, Brian, go down a little bit more. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Hey, that's the episode I put up. You want to listen to chaos, listen to the episode, but keep going, keep going down, keep going down, keep going down, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Those are my babies.
Oh my
it's their 11th month birthday.
They're so cute, Sam.
By the way, click on that picture. Tell me she's not making the exact same face I'm making.
Oh my God, they're so
right?
Cute.
That's the exact same face.
She is.
Ghost is making the exact same face. Keep going down.
They're amazing.
Keep going down, keep going down. Go down, keep going, keep going, keep, okay. Keep, is that today's or is that, well, okay, I guess
22 hours ago.
Okay, go up, go up, go up. So here's something that's very interesting. Oh, here, I must send you this chin, sorry. Okay. So this woman is right here, right?
Yeah.
She's testifying about what she saw, brother. Okay, we have seen more than ample evidence that something was going down. And there's actually, if you go to, can you open another screen? Go to William Benny on Twitter. William Benny. Now,
I know. Wait, Sam. We have to stop on that. So, wait. You just showed me a woman testifying.
No,
okay?
Up the other way.
Okay, that's fine. So, that a woman's testifying.
No, it's not enough up, evidence. Up that one. Click that one. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
So, just so Brian knows who this guy is, right?
Yeah.
This guy's worked for the NSA, okay?
All right.
He basically created the system that they use to, unfortunately, spy on Americans, right? To collect data. Now, if you go down a little bit, okay?
That sounds crazy, dude.
What?
You hear what he just said? Go back to that. Hold on.
The top one?
Former NSA tech director from the movie A Good American testified to German Bundestag and UK House of Lords to stop illegal mass surveillance on the world. He testified about it, okay?
But what, because you heard him in the movie, you thought he was an actor?
He said he's a former NSA tech director. So he was the, okay, so wait. So he was a consultant on The Good American.
But he probably was the character from A Good American. Okay? The character was based on him.
Okay.
Okay. I know you're pissed you didn't get called into audition for that.
I'm
because you guys look around the same age, which is 90.
Meanwhile, please stop. Help the stop.
Keep going down, keep going down, keep going down, because you're going to look at crazy stuff. Okay, keep going down, keep going down, keep going down. There's something he says as you're going down, I'll listen to it. He basically breaks down how many registered voters there are in America. Okay, keep going. He breaks down how many registered voters there are, and which is like around 220 million. 20 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he breaks down how many people actually voted. Right here. Read this.
With 212 million registered voters and 66.2% voting, 140 million voted. That's a huge number. Jesus. Now, if Trump got 74 million, that leaves only 66.34 million for Biden. I don't know if Trump did get 74 million.
No, hold on, Brian. Nobody's contesting the 74 million except for you on this podcast right now. Nobody's contesting it. And I've asked everybody. I've even asked Biden people, are you contesting how many Trump got? No. Nobody's contesting the number 74.
Did Trump win the popular vote? Because I know Biden won the Electoral
College. No, Biden said he got 80 million. It's impossible. That number is impossible.
Okay, but We hold on. Biden got 306. Trump got 200. That's the Electoral College. But how many total? So wait. So Biden got 81 million. Trump got 74 million.
Yeah,
add those two up, buddy. Add those two up. I mean, why should I not believe that?
Why should I not believe what?
Why should I not believe those numbers I'm looking at right there? So you know what I'm saying? Trump got 46.9%. Biden got 51.4%.
Right. Why should you not believe them? Because it's statistically not possible for him to get 81 million votes.
Why?
Because there's not that many votes to be gotten. I mean, the 74 million is universally agreed upon.
Okay.
It's universally agreed upon. So I'm trying to find, because somebody sent me this.
But
so,
what I'm saying is that your constitutional.
Will you look up? Today they're voting in Georgia. You know that, right?
Yes.
They're voting in Georgia to determine who gets the last 2 cents.
Yes.
Whoever gets those determines who runs the Senate.
I'm going to look at this right now. It could be Republicans or Democrats.
So the total is 155 million votes.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. Mm. That number's not possible. So will you look up Dominion voting machines freeze in Georgia? Will you look that up? In Georgia. Nope. Go down.
Not that one. Judge freezes.
No. They're actually.
You mean physically frozen?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're physically. I can't find the fucking thing. I took Twitter and Instagram off my phone. Yes. In three Republican. Can you put three Republican counties in Georgia? Mm-hmm. The Dominion machines aren't working. How convenient.
I don't know if that's true.
Oh,
though.
Brian.
Do you know
Brian,
what I'm saying?
I come with facts.
In three what?
In three Republican counties.
Like Trump in the phone call said that they were messing with the internal parts of the Dominion machines, and the Secretary of State or whoever said, no, that's just not true. We don't have any evidence.
Okay, what we're trying.
A lot of this stuff is rumors being floated by these sort of right-wing
conspiracies. So what's gonna happen now is Brian's going to go, oh, I don't know with the World Tribune, so unless CNN tells me, I can't believe it, right? Who's been telling us about Russian collusion for the last 4 years? So this, I've seen this in multiple places, that the Dominion voting machines in three of the largest Republican precincts in Georgia have been frozen.
That's what it says there.
Thank you, Brian.
They are being told they can't scan their ballots because the machines don't work. The poll workers are saying, when it's fixed, we'll scan it for you.
Ooh.
There's all kinds of red flags. Radio host John Fetterer reported, what the fuck? That does piss me off. President Donald Trump tweeted Tuesday at 1:18, reports are coming out of the 12th Congressional District of Georgia that Dominion machines are not working in certain Republican strongholds for over an hour. Ballots are being left in locked boxes. Hopefully they count them. Other reports said the Georgia Secretary of State's office is saying the Dominion software loaded on security keys was corrupt and new programs were created and were being delivered to polling locations by law enforcement. All right. All this stuff needs to be talked about because we have to trust our voting system. Newsmax, see, what I'm worried about, Sam, is that we're not going to trust our elections.
Well, a lot of people, the really black pill cool guys, will tell you that's the goal.
Yeah, and I worry about
is get
about
people
that.
Not to trust. But Brian, that does not mean that this is real. Dude, Brian, look how many followers Joe Biden has on, like, Twitter. It's like 10 million people. And you're telling me, and Trump has 70 like or 50 million people. And you're telling me this guy got more votes than Barack Obama and Trump, who were filling like the Grand Canyon worth of people.
It's a lot of people. Yeah.
And it's like, I know you're going, a lot of people hate Trump. That's why they showed up.
A lot of people like him too, though.
That
a lot of people like him.
That narrative, brother, didn't translate anywhere else. In this country, anywhere, where like anti-Trump rhetoric equaled more viewers, more purchasing, stocks going up. It actually was the exact opposite. So we got 22 million here, and then Trump's got like 50 something.
Do you think that
88.5 million?
Yeah, I mean,
million.
You're telling me this that dude who has
More fun to follow. He's just more active on Twitter too, though. Like, you know, Biden.
Yeah, because Biden's shit in his pants.
Biden,
why Kamala Harris.
Biden just heard of Twitter 2 days ago. Trump's been on Twitter fucking.
This guy's,
you know,
great.
He's a monster on
this
Twitter.
This guy's great.
88.5 million. Look
this
at
guy's
that
great.
Shit. How famous is that guy?
Go to Kim Kardashian and see who's bigger. Who has the most Twitter followers?
It's got to be
By
Trump.
The way, can
it's
I ask you something?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Paul brothers? Jake? I love it.
I like them.
I love it.
I've only hung out with Logan once at this Terran Tactical, the place I have to bring you shooting. I loved him. I thought he was great. But Shab always talked about how great he is. I mean,
dude, the guy's like cracked the matrix. Oh, and like, they grew up in front of the camera through their awkward years. And if you put cameras on us when we were all young, we were all fucking knuckleheads.
Look, these guys are also athletic, big, strong dudes. Who did sports a lot of their life. I mean, you know,
Holy shit,
Jake Paul and fucking
Kim Kardashian.
I know. Jake Paul and fucking Logan Paul are big athletic guys. I would never want to fucking get in a ring with those.
How about him fight the one Logan fighting Floyd Mayweather?
I don't think he's going to put a glove on Floyd, but it'll be fun to watch. Hard to hit Floyd, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Really, really hard to hit him. And Floyd gets in on you and just starts peppering your face.
You know what's so interesting? We're seeing this push now by feminists. And I don't know if we've already talked about this, but we're put this big push to like have women enter male sports. And I find it so disrespectful to female athletics because the feminists have been pushing on women that male shit is the best shit. And if you really are doing it right, you're trying to do male stuff. And
that's interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, look at it. Look at it like everything that feminism pushes right now. I mean, you literally are seeing this narrative. Oh, COVID has sent women back. The women's movement back. Women are now going back to the house and being just being moms. Like, dude, the notion of just being a mom is like some sort of slight and it's like the most disrespectful bullshit I've ever heard in my life. Right. There's nothing more important than being a mom. And this is coming from a dad.
I agree 100%. I mean, being a mom is a huge job, and it's an amazing job.
So now we have this narrative where, like, feminists are telling females, oh, you got to play in male sports, and you got to... And I understand because male sports has more money that they might want to try to get in there because they think...
The marketplace says it.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think it's just disingenuous to amazing female athletes. And it's like, it's not a men are better athletes. It's different body types. That's like kind of saying that Muhammad Ali is a better fighter than Floyd Mayweather. Because if you put them in their peak, Muhammad Ali would wreck fucking because he's so much bigger.
Of course.
So it's like female athletes are just a different body type.
Exactly.
And you can't compare them to male athletes because it's just a different body type.
Correct. But you're already skating on waters that the feminists would. What's interesting is the trans movement is grading against the feminist movement. It's really interesting because they're at odds because feminists are like women are, you know, the women have suffered and here we are. The fourth wave of feminism is men are trying to take us back to where we were. And it's this like sort of siege mentality. But then you've got, there's this notion of feminism of, you know, we want equality, we want equal rights. We want all this stuff. But then you've got men now who are coming into the female space and saying, I'm a man, but by the way, now I'm a woman, and therefore I am exactly like you. I'm exactly like you. You will treat me exactly like a woman. And oh, by the way, even though every chromosome in my body is male, I'm going to compete against you in sports.
And now, destroy
Think about how women feel. Think about how feminists feel, like, say, tennis players. Like Serena Williams, or, you know, we just know that she can't beat a lot of the top D1 tennis players who are men. She can't hit as hard. It's just the way it is. Certainly not in the top. She wouldn't be in the top 300 in men if she tried to play those guys. Not close in the world, but that's just a different body type. Like you were saying, they hit the ball too hard, too consistently, all that bullshit. But like, think now about a man who says he's a top 100 tennis player and he goes, you know what? I'm a woman now. I'm going to go in and play in the women's. That wouldn't be fair. I don't believe that's fair. But if you are woke and you're part of the trans movement, you have to say it is fair. If you're part of the Democratic Party now, you like Chuck Schumer or even Joe Biden, it's like, yes, I endorse people who identify as women to be in female sports. So that is very hard for feminists to contend with. It's a tough one. So explain to me how we.
Well, because then they have to turn around and basically ask men to help them push back on this.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. And, you know, to each their own, I think it's like, listen, man, I always say you can do whatever you want until you start infringing on other people's rights. Right?
That's right.
Like sexually, you could do the weirdest shit you want until you start raping or hurting people, right? Yeah. And then that's like, you've gone too far. That's not cool. That should be illegal. You can be like, you could say, I have pronouns to the cows come home. That's fine. Until you start passing laws going, if you don't call me on this pronoun, you're going to jail. You're being fined.
Yeah, compelled speech.
Right? Listen, you don't like gay sex. You don't like gay marriage. Don't have gay sex. Don't get gay married. You don't like abortion. Don't have abortions. That's my opinion. Yeah. Okay. You do you. Like, I will always be on the side of the individual rights. When you're trans and you're fighting against women, you are physically got the fucking Like, I have tiny hands, but you know, the giant fucking
meat hook. A lot of things. Also, you don't hesitate. You have your, the, like, split second timing is different. The eye works different with the brain. There's all kinds of different things.
It's ridiculous. And it's like, you know, like, one thing I'll tell you about Trump that I love is he's destroying a lot of fucking institutions that have, we've grown up with, Republican, Democrat. He's destroying that. As you're saying, like, why would the Republicans? Because, dude, the Republicans are just as, it's so hilarious. Like, Trump's election got the Republicans back to the bag of dicks eating fucking political party. I remember them as a kid, right? I was coming up, I was a Democrat, and then you had all these old guys telling fucking interracial dating wasn't right, gay marriage wasn't right. And you're like, eat a bag of dicks, old dude. Right. And then, like, Trump gets elected, and all of a sudden, the bizarro Democrats, we see, like, how crazy the fucking Democrats were, like, fuck you, Democrats. You guys, no, don't eat a bag of dicks because you like eating bags of dicks, okay? You guys eat some pussy and some ass and whatever you don't like, you do that. But now, thanks to this election, we're back to seeing that how retarded Fox News is and how retarded the Republican. He's destroyed both of them. So when you go, oh, these Republicans, it's Republicans. Dude, it's like they're both corrupt. They're both taking money 100%. From the CCP and big donors and selling out their constituents for their own fucking good.
Right. Right. I mean, I think that Trump in that sense was a maverick.
He Let's end on something funny and fun. I feel like I got too intense.
No, I like it. I fucking like it.
I feel I'm just my fucking.
No, I mean, I won, but it was good. And
Brian,
I
you won nothing to
that. No, I won a lot.
You had no point to win on.
No, I like it, and I won, and it's very easy for me, but that's fine. Now, what were we going to talk about? Well, how do we end this? Have you seen any fucking good movies? Is there anything you recommend?
Brian, can I be honest with you?
Yes.
I was telling Chin before this, The Mandalorian is fucking amazing.
Really?
Oh my God.
What's it on?
It's on Disney Plus, and I was like, I can't fucking do it. I can't. I'm like, everyone I know is like, dude, it's so good. I'm like, okay, you got my money, Disney. The Mandalorian is so good.
Oh, it's a Star Wars
thing. Yeah.
And guess who crushed in it?
Who?
Bill fucking Burr crushed in it, dude. In his episode that he was on, he was so...
Oh, so it's a series.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at him.
It was so good, dude. And wow. It's like Jon Favreau crushes in this, dude. And it's so interesting because I'm a big Vince Vaughn fan. And, you know, because forever it was like Vince Vaughn and his buddy...
I love Vince.
Jon Favreau. And, like, now they're both killers. And Jon Favreau has found a wonderful
pace. So is Vince Vaughn in this? He was in The Mandalorian?
No, oh, but okay. Jon Favreau from Swingers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know Jon Favreau. Yeah, he's a big-time director now. Yeah, yeah, so he directed this. All right, he's a great
director. Dude, it's so good, bro.
Really?
It's so... Dude, the monsters are, like, awesome.
Wow.
Dude, there are some episodes I'm like panicking during the episode because I'm like, I know they're going to get through it. It's Disney. They got to get through it. But I'm like, oh my God, this is so good.
Wow. All right. So I'll watch it. It's that good.
Oh, Gina Carano. Oh, like I if I'm, her.
She's so hot.
You want to mate with somebody? Mate with that chick.
I'm too light in the ass, but she's so fucking hot. I think she's awesome.
What does that mean? You're too light in the ass.
She's just a big, strong girl. I can't.
Dude, can you look up a picture? Dude, she is a. Oh,
she's her dad was a pro football player. She's yeah. Big. She probably walks at dude, 175.
If I was a D1 athlete, yeah. That's who I'm going
for.
She's
so hot. She's so.
Dude, pretty. She's just a savage.
I think
bro.
She's so pretty, man. Let me see it in the. Let me see that.
I knew dress. Her about 15 years ago.
Let me see that white, yellow dress, buddy. Over
yeah,
there.
Let's see that. Dude, I love that
she's a
shit.
Big, strong girl.
Dude,
though.
She's a fucking... Like, yeah. It's so weird because when you talk about women in those ways, they get offended. But I mean it with the most due respect and love. Like, she is a D1 mom.
100%.
Like, you have a kid with her, that kid's going straight to the league.
100%. Look at how big and strong she is.
Look at that, dude. If I was John Jones, I'd be like, come on, let's do this.
That's right.
Let's make... Like
she and John Jones should have children.
And like these futuristic
X-Men,
children.
X-Men, fucking X-Men.
Right?
X-Men. And look at her. She's just all buxom.
She's so hot, dude. And she's so cool. I haven't talked to her in 15 years.
How tall is she?
She's taller than you because you're tiny.
I'm a big guy.
Look at her. How tall is your mom, by the way?
5'4".
That's why you're a tiny guy.
Yeah, that's why.
Because my dad was
6 feet. Don't say tiny.
Dude, you're not 6 feet.
Stand up for a second.
You're not 6 feet. You're not 6 feet, dude.
I'm
stand. I'm like 5'11", 6 foot.
Who's tall? You are pretty tall, Sam.
I just have bad posture.
He's wearing heels, though.
I'm not wearing heels.
He's wearing high-heeled boots.
You're taller, Sam.
Yeah. So you're like 5'7".
Get the fuck out of here. You're almost 6 feet, goddamn.
Okay, you're almost 6 feet.
But that's crazy. So you're pretty tall, Sam.
She's 5'8", but all so fucking meat, dog.
Yeah, she's all woman, dude.
She's the best. How old is she? Does it say? I know women don't want
probably
that out.
40.
Yeah, she's
38. 38 years old.
38. So gotta hit that, man. Cool. Gotta crush that
shit.
Is she
married to anybody or dating anybody?
I don't think
she was with Henry Cavill.
She was with my buddy Kit Cope when I knew her.
Yeah, him too.
Who?
Fighter, right?
Kit Cope. I had a TV show.
Was a fighter?
Yeah.
Did I know him?
Yeah, it was me, Jason Ellis, and Kit Cope on
Mike.
Was he a heavyweight? Say yes.
No.
Kit Cope. Let me see him.
Kit Cope's the shit.
Let me see some images here. Dude, remember this guy?
Yeah.
He was on TV a lot.
Yeah, he's on my team. We had a TV show.
He's a small guy.
Mm. He's not a small guy.
How big is he?
He's like taller than you.
Okay. He's big, strong, athletic.
And he's like into like security now, and he works with guns. He's the best. I love him. I haven't seen him that much. But yeah, he fought for a WEC title.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah.
Rough kid, rough cat.
This was our show. Look at me, dude.
Oh, my God, Sam.
Look at me, dude.
Oh, dude.
It was so long ago. Oh, I had so God. Much hope.
Holy moly.
I know. I've been through a lot of this.
I had
Wait,
so much
Wait, so, so, okay, so The Mandalorian is the movie you're saying.
It's a TV series.
All right. What about movies? Any movies that you've seen?
I haven't watched a movie in a while. I'm kind of sad because you can't go to a movie theater. One of these, yeah, I can't go to a movie theater. Look at that. Man, remember when I was trying to be a gay magician? Watch me pull this dick out of my ass, right?
Yes.
Look at that, dude. Look how much hope that kid had.
Hey, for the clip, use the beginning of this episode.
What?
It was so good.
Just the beginning?
Yeah, where he's talking about, you know, the dog mask and shit.
Okay, okay.
I think. So funny. Yeah, man. Gina Carano. She's badass. All right, I'm going to watch The Mandalorian.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you.
I watched the Queen's Gambit.
Oh, there's it's that okay. Bryan Cranston TV show that I got to be honest with you. I had high hopes for it.
Which, Breaking Bad or a new one?
No, the new one. It's on Showtime.
Oh. It wasn't so good?
You're on it?
I got to be honest with you, man. His acting is always great, but I wasn't happy with the writing because I felt it was like, I don't mind a little movie magic, right? And there is that in like The Mandalorian. There's a little movie magic, but you know, something. But when there's too much movie magic, like all the time, you're like, that would never happen in real life.
Yeah.
It kind of takes, and I understand it's like scripted, but it's like, it's got to have enough basis in real life.
Yeah. Did you see The Undoing? Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that was good.
Undoing.
You don't want to know about
that was on HBO.
You don't want to know about Nicole Kidman. You don't want to know. Guys, this has been you don't want to know. Conspiracy Social Club.
I shouldn't bring it up right now.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
All right.
You should.
We will next time.
Maybe next
time. Give me a little hint on what I should know.
Her dad ran a giant pedophile network.
Well, my dad apparently is the king of the world. And, you know, I've known the guy my whole life, and that's news to me. So, you know, and to him, by the way.
By the way, your dad was great. I love him.
We're going to
have my dad on sometime, and he'll just talk about the time they taught special ed class. And for to learn math, he taught them poker, and he cleaned them all out, and he got in big trouble because he took all their fucking money.
The guy knows his shit. That girl on The Undoing, man.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
She's just, have you seen her? She's always naked in this, too. And you're like, oh, my
God. Dude, what was the movie? Do you remember House of Cards?
Yeah.
Do you remember the first season that was that one chick that I think he was banging and her can you go Big Tits House of Cards? That chick. Her Which rack one? Was so big. I was really? Like, this chick's gonna be huge. And I don't know if we have a Big Tits House of Cards.
Let's see if it pops up.
Yeah,
God, you know, Christina Hendrickson. I remember
Sam
her.
Sandorf helps me purchase loyalty in return.
Dude, can we stop for a second? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, we're joking about this dude, mm-hmm. but this dude. Everyone that's accused him of something, sexual assault, has came up dead. I'm not even
kidding. I remember hearing about this too.
Mm. Maybe they all died. Maybe they was all killed. Let me see.
Go back. No, I don't think that's it. Go back. Go back to the thing. Well, maybe that's it. Yeah. That's it. That's got to be her.
Oh, Rachel. Crap, this is a porn.
Oh, yeah. But find her name. Find her name. Just copy and paste. We don't want porn on a show. This is a Christian show.
No, I'm curious now.
Oh.
There.
Well, I didn't watch it. Whenever, when Spooky Ghost released all those naked pictures of the women, I didn't look at
it. Oh, do you want to hear the conspiracy about that?
Yeah, I didn't look at them, though.
Yeah, that's her, dude.
I was like, I'm not looking
at her. Fucking rack for days. Can you find with the tits out, guns out? Yeah, dude. I mean, just mammies, dog.
Jesus. Rachel.
So you ever hear the theory?
And what, does she take her clothes off in the show?
Oh, yeah. Her tits were out all the time.
Jesus. All right, well, if you got them, show them.
I mean, we're trying to find it, but you have to say
Rachel Brosnahan nude, but I don't want to be, I don't know.
You don't want to do what? Look at fucking tits?
Well, if she's already showed them, then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, she got paid big bucks to show them. Look at that picture, though.
I never seen the actress, but she's a beautiful woman.
Mammies. So, what was it called when all those girls' pictures came out? There was a name for it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Forgot the damn name.
So, I've just purposely. I even said on Fighter because I was like, don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't want you to see them, you know? It's like if a girl doesn't want you to see her name, some guy hacks.
I believe in filth by choice, Chin.
Yeah, you shouldn't look at them. If a girl says this, I didn't say it was okay, then I think it's fucked up to
Be filthy by choice. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, look at this man sauce on my face. Which supposedly there was one of the girl who played the murderer, the female serial killer.
Right.
That's so smoking hot. Like, she got an award for playing an ugly Charlize person.
Charlize Theron.
It's like, oh my God, you're so brave. You played an ugly person.
She was so good in that. Yeah, I don't know. I remember we saw those pictures, though, on the podcast. Somebody brought them up, and I was like, oh, come on, man.
But there's one with man sauce all over her face. I'm like, I can't believe you did that to such a beautiful person.
I think that
person was
Rose McGowan or something. I don't know.
But
I just...
Do you know the theory on that? That wasn't a hack?
Really?
That Harvey Weinstein lost his phone, and those were all the pictures from his phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. But I think a lot of those girls were sending them to their friends and stuff. I don't know.
Well, I believe in filth by choice.
Yeah, me too.
Guys, check out my cameos. Cameos. They're really crushing.
Come see me at the Bassani Theater.
Please vote on who you thought won and really won.
Yeah. We didn't really get down to it, but
well, we got to it. I mean, how bad did I win? That's the question.
Do you still contest, because we have money on this, that Trump will be vindicated?
I think we're going to hear a big announcement tomorrow.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Chin,
yes.
Can you bring up my dates? Mm-hmm. I got the Vasani Theater.
I mean, dude, how much you owe me? How much you owe me? 96?
No. I owe you $23. Oh, did I double that?
No, I doubled it, and then you doubled that.
Right. Oh, Miami. I'm in Miami, Florida, you guys. I'm at the Miami Improv February 4, 5, 6.
Oh, they reopened that?
My favorite place in the world, yeah. Miami 4, 5, and 6 is crushing right now. Then I got Zanies in Nashville, February 11, 12, 13. Gotta remember this. And then Denver, Colorado, I got...
I might come with you to Denver.
I'd love
I'm thinking about
seriously?
It.
Seriously? Comedy
I'm
Works?
Thinking about it.
I'll just come... I'll just... You'll come and co-headline with me.
No, it's your show.
February 25th, 26th, 27th. Comedy Works. Let me know sooner than later and you're in.
Why? Are you going to bring black people out with
you? I'll bring you. I'll just bring you.
All you woke comics
I will
100%, black
features. I'll 100% just bring you. If you want, you're in.
I'm thinking
I would
about
love
because I've been wanting to get into that club for a while.
All right, Don. So you
but
know
Daddy
what?
Won't let the nobody lets Daddy
Sam
come.
Sam Tripoli is going to be coming.
Daddy wants to come. Guys, check out my cameos and check out my new podcast. It's called Cash Daddies, and it's a financial investment comedy show. What I'm doing, Chin, is like there's a lot of internet rich people. Mm-hmm. I myself, not rich, but I'm making a little money on the internet. I don't know how to finance. We didn't grow up with a dad who was a banker fucking the country and the world, okay?
Yeah.
Right? Now all of us. Brian, how far away are you right now?
I know.
How did you get that far away?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I kept adjusting.
I don't know, man. I just thought.
Wait, be honest. Is it my breath?
No.
Is it my armpits? Am I farting?
I'm just sitting because I like being sideways so I can look.
Chin has to get up in his khakis.
I can see the camera and I can see you.
He's got so much shit in his pockets that I can just hear his spurs. Jingle, jangle. Jingle.
Jingle, jangle. All right, kids. Listen.
Okay, Brian, I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Holy sorry, fuck, man. I'm quiet while you push your product.
I am so sorry.
I have a new podcast. It is called Cash Daddies. It is for the internet rich, such as you, YouTubers, your Patreon people, and you OnlyFans, okay? Spend a little of that ass in your, putting bats in your ass money. Yep. And learn how to invest it. I've been telling these guys about Bitcoin.
I know.
Either one of you guys buy any Bitcoin? I cannot believe you didn't buy Bitcoin.
Crazy. It's so fucking huge, right?
I know, dude. I told you guys this weeks ago. Weeks ago when it was manageable. But you still.
Sam gets a win again.
I did. Thank you. Thank you, dude. I love you, brother. Guys, check out Cash Daddies.
Love you guys.